If you compare the internet to past technologies like electricity, it is spreading much, much faster.
Welcome to Vox Dev Talks. My name is Tim Phillips. Now, for more than 30 years, techno-optimists have been telling us that the internet is transforming our economies. Well, what's the evidence that this has actually happened or is happening now in low and middle-income countries? And if the promise has not yet been fulfilled, well, why not? Lin Tian of INSEAD is one of the authors of a new paper that examines the evidence so far, and she joins me now. Lin, welcome to Vox Dev Talks.
Thanks for having me, Tim. Hi, everyone.
Lin, how widespread now is the use of broadband internet in low, middle-income countries?
It's growing really fast, but when we look at the distribution of access, it's still quite uneven across different regions. Just to give you some numbers, in sub-Saharan Africa, for example, only about 30% of the people use the internet, whereas this number is more than 70% in Latin America. So that's a huge difference over there. What is driving this growth is the development of mobile network. So some people say mobile internet, that's a total game changer. I tend to agree with those people. And this is especially true in driving the growth of internet usage in rural areas. Mobile networks are cheaper and faster to deploy in terms of infrastructure than the traditional fixed line broadband, which is a technology that especially in low-income countries are still playing this catch-up game. If you compare the internet to past technologies like electricity, it is spreading much, much faster, but we still see significant gaps between urban and rural areas. And this is a gap that is hard to close unless there's, you know, very heavy infrastructure investment coming from the government.
And considering it's a comparatively recent innovation in these places, is there much research? Is it possible to do much research into how effective it has been for development?
Much like the rapid expansion of the technology itself, research into the impact of this internet technology is also growing just as quickly. In our paper, we reviewed about 150 studies, 153 to be exact, which covers everything from productivity to education to public sector delivery. Earlier studies tended to focus almost primarily on documenting correlations, so these co-movements. But newer research is using more granular data and more advanced analytical methods, for example, randomized experiments or natural experiments. The benefit of this is it allows us to go beyond just documenting correlation, but to really pinpoint the causal impact of internet on various economic outcomes.
Every one of those 153 studies must have bumped up against this because, of course, the causal impact works both ways, doesn't it? From development to adoption of internet, from the adoption of internet to development.
Great question. So you are absolutely right that if we simply compare outcomes of two areas, one with the internet, the other one doesn't have internet, what we are establishing is just a correlation, right? Or a co-movement of these two changes. To establish a causal relationship, you know, how does internet lead to this outcome, this change? That's a lot trickier. And researchers overcome this challenge by using natural experiments. For example, say we are talking about installation of fiber optic cable, one of the key infrastructure that enables the deployment of the internet. So if a fiber optic cable was installed in some areas, but not the others. And this choice is due to things like geographic constraints or timing or climate. When we compare the outcomes between these areas, whether you have internet or not, it's not driven by some economic factors, but by random, at least quasi-random factors. So essentially what we are trying to find are so-called incidental connections, whether you are connected to the internet network by accident or by factors that are related to the things that you're interested in studying. Once you find those cases, then you can just compare the outcomes, and this allows you to isolate the effect of internet access from all the other confounding factors.
In the paper, you very usefully sort the potential impacts of internet into what you've called supply side and demand side. So if we look at the supply side, first of all, what it does for workers and for work. Now, the optimists about technology will always argue that the internet makes workers, makes all of us more productive, and more internet makes us even more productive than that. Have researchers been able to measure this outcome? Is there evidence to support this productivity argument?
Yes, a lot of research has been focused on studying this human or labor aspect. So I'll say there's solid evidence on that. Studies often measure outcomes like wages, employment, or more directly, labor output. There's one study that used data from 14 different countries, ranging from very low-income ones like Rwanda, Uganda, to more middle-income countries like Indonesia, Brazil, Mexico. It showed that on average, when you have a 10 percentage point increase in 3G coverage, that's going to increase the employment rates by about 2.1 percentage points. There's also been study that looks at a fixed line broadband internet connections. For example, in China, India, Brazil, you know, researchers have found similar evidence. Faster internet increased worker productivity and wages. There's also been studies done that looks at explaining why, meaning the mechanisms. Mm-hmm. Why are they more productive? Studies have found that faster internet promotes better collaboration within organizations. If you are a manager, it allows you to better monitor the effort and the performance of your team members. If you are trying to coordinate or collaborate across different job functions within the organization, having internet reduces communication frictions. Another channel or mechanism is obviously with internet, you can use internet-enabled tools or internet-related tools. For example, cloud-based platforms. Mm-hmm. We can talk to each other even though we are located in different areas, and that's only possible when we have stable, fast internet. But also other digital technologies and softwares. For example, you know, software that helps you to control your inventory, software that helps you to keep track of your sales. So all of these are going to, of course, boost labor efficiency as well.
It sounds from what you're saying as if certain types of workers might benefit more from this than others.
It can be. Yeah. And this is where things get interesting, actually. A higher skilled worker, as we expect, often benefit from internet technology. Because if you have a lot of skills, you are more equipped to use the internet-enabled tools, right? Things we talk about, cloud-based platforms, all these like softwares. Studies in India, Brazil, China, even Tanzania have indeed confirmed this our prior belief. But having said that, there's growth for people outside of this very skilled group as well. In places like Nigeria and Uruguay, people have found that even less skilled workers have also benefited. And sometimes this is through better job matching, and also sometimes access to remote work opportunities. For instance, in Nigeria, having access to mobile broadband allow more people to find jobs outside of their immediate areas. So this is going to boost the overall employment rates, not just the high-skilled workers.
Now, we're naturally talking about how the internet helps people do their jobs, but of course, we all worry about something completely different, which is it's going to replace us. In low- and middle-income countries, is there evidence that this is happening?
Yeah, so this has been a very hot and hotly debated topic in mostly advanced economies context, from what we can see. Mm-hmm. But in low and middle income countries, we actually see more evidence of complementarity than replacement. Internet often creates new opportunities rather than automating tasks. But there are, of course, exceptions. For example, in Brazil, people have found that when a firm have access to fast internet, they actually reduce firms' reliance on workers performing tasks that are very routine in nature. So think about factory workers being the best example there. This suggests there are some degrees of automation there as well. And this is telling us that as internet adoption grows even further in low and middle income countries, task replacement could become more prevalent, especially in sectors where automation makes more economic sense. And in our paper, we also highlighted that this is a potential policy issue for policymakers and government to really think about and to address.
We also cover regularly on Vox Dev Talks the problems with getting enough education especially for ambitious people in these contexts? Is the internet having an impact on the quality of education or the quality of training for a job?
There's a fascinating study. There's this program in China. And so what they've done is they use internet-based platforms that connects students who are located in very remote rural areas, very poor villages, with high-quality teachers that are located in the city. They found that having access to better teachers not only boosted students' test scores, but even their future earnings when they enter the labor market. Similar evidence has been found in Peru, Malawi, but a more nuanced picture is that internet access can also affect educational achievement indirectly. Mm-hmm. For example, in India, internet access increased the enrollment of primary schools. And then in China, they have implemented a teacher-parent feedback program that is embedded in the Chinese social media, WeChat. Yeah. So they found out the implementation of this feedback program in rural parts of China also had positive effects on students' test scores. On the training side, this is another area where internet access has made a difference. For example, in Africa, internet enabled workers to upskill themselves remotely by attending training courses online.
So, of course, we've lived through an era of globalization in the last 15, 20 years. I think it possibly came up in the US election once or twice. The internet does make it possible, if you are a firm in a low middle income country, to be able to find customers abroad. Is there evidence that it has worked to increase export markets?
Yes, there is some evidence, but it's a mixed picture. Uh-huh. So in some contexts, internet access has opened doors to export markets. For example, studies in Africa show that internet access helps firms find international buyers and that would increase the exports, but the impact is not uniform. In some cases, like in parts of China, on the one hand, that internet access has helped firms to export better or export more, this benefit has primarily been concentrated to larger or more established firms. Smaller firms that are located in the rural parts of China actually struggled because of their logistical barriers or lack of the proper skills, right? You need the proper digital skills to take full advantage of the technology. And in places where they don't have this digital literacy, there's places where they can't reap the full benefits of this. So I guess the evidence is mixed, at least at the moment, which means that even though internet is a powerful tool for expanding market, but the gains would really depend heavily on these complementary factors like infrastructure, digital literacy, and also logistics.
Now, if you go onto internet platforms, and I'm really thinking about Alibaba Marketplace here, which is astounding, just the sheer number of small firms selling more or less everything. You might think that the internet is a good route for them to expand their business. Is it working in that way?
The short answer is yes. Platforms like Alibaba Marketplace are just transformative. You are right that this is especially true for small firms in low and middle income countries. There are a few ways that firms benefit from this. Obviously, this helps firms to reach customers that are located in the global markets. It helps them to reduce transaction costs. It also helps them to have better access to credits, right? By facilitating the use of the so-called digital collateral, easier for you to take loans. It also helps small firms to increase their visibility and build reputation through all these features like rating system. But word of caution there, this better visibility can also work as a double-edged sword in the sense that smaller sellers can also struggle with the visibility problem. Yeah. If they don't have strong ratings or marketing capabilities.
What about trade partners? Can companies find trade partners using the internet?
So that area is still emerging, but fast expanding, but there's already some evidence that shows that internet access reduces search costs and improves communication between firms and their trading partners. In Turkey, there's a very recent study that documents that internet enables firms to diversify their suppliers and that allows them to find better and higher quality trade partners.
For all of us that have been through an economics education, we all remember the lectures that we spent learning about the law of one price.
Yes.
That relies on having good information. The internet gives you good information. Does the internet in this context reduce price dispersion?
Absolutely. I'm very happy you remember your undergraduate education.
You probably teach it.
In general, we know that price dispersion arises whenever there's imperfect information. Obviously, one of the key advantages for internet is it reduces information friction in the markets. So one of the best examples comes from farmers in India. There's this experiment that gave some farmers an internet-based price platform that allows them to observe and track the prices. So with that, researchers observed that the farmers were able to sell directly to buyers at better prices because they can essentially bypass the middleman. In this case, not only reduce price dispersion, but also empower sellers to make more informed decisions.
When I deal with the public sector, now where I am, a lot of that is done online, a lot of that is done on my phone. Is there evidence that this same effect is happening in low, middle income country settings?
They were slower in this aspect, but they're definitely catching up. And there are some exciting results that have already been documented. One is in Indonesia. There's this move to digitize the government welfare program, and it had a big impact. And not only it made the system more efficient, but actually reduced poverty. It helps getting resources to the people who needed them the most. In India, they implemented a e-governance system, and researchers show that it reduced corruption and sped up the delivery of public services, so things like welfare payments and job guarantees. Also, even in the lowest income countries with very limited resources, like those in Africa, internet is helping governments to become more effective. In a few African countries, internet-based technologies help to improve tax collection efficiency. So it's easier for them to track and manage payments, also detect potential tax fraud cases.
Now, I'd imagine that the impact would vary quite considerably depending on where you are. Where is the strongest evidence that there are macroeconomic benefits that we can see from this technology?
The strongest evidence comes from regions with robust infrastructure and complementary policies. I mentioned China a lot, and indeed is one of the countries that we see the strongest impact, and also India and parts of Africa. And the benefits are driven by a combination of different factors, including productivity gains, both in labor and also total factor productivity, better market access, not just different parts of the country, but also the global market, adoption of new technologies, and also improved labor matching.
You talk to venture capitalists in the US or in Europe or in Singapore, then very often they will say to you that the best thing that government can do is get out of our way. I would imagine that that's not universally the case in the countries that we're discussing today. What can policy do? How much can policy increase these benefits?
Our belief is policy is critical.
Yeah.
So we talk about investment in infrastructure, digital infrastructure. We talked about improving digital literacy being crucial ways for government to step in. But there's also things like promoting competition in telecom markets. All of this can amplify the benefits of internet. On the other hand, without this, gains are most likely going to be limited to populations who are in the urban sector or people who are already wealthier or have higher skills.
Yes, and where we started off, where you're saying there's a very unequal distribution of this technology, is there evidence that it is also increasing inequality?
There's definitely a risk. So we talked about skilled workers or bigger firms often benefit more. That's going to widen the existing gap. But the flip side is there's also hope. In some interesting studies that will talk about the labor market impact of internet, there's a gender bias element in the sense that women tend to benefit particularly from better internet access. There's one fascinating study in West Bengal where having better internet allows women to work remotely from their home. And this is useful because the local culture is one in which there's a lot of limitations for women to go out and work in these traditional kind of office-based jobs. Allowing them to work remotely is almost like a gateway that allows them to enter the labor market. in that sense, there's scope for internet to reduce this inequality across different genders. There's also been evidence, for example, in China that shows that internet has also reduced spatial inequality. Again, I feel like this is where policies can play a role. Policymakers need to focus on digital inclusion strategies so that these benefits can be more broadly shared across different segments of the population.
Yes, we might have 153 studies, but we certainly need many, many more. Where is the scope for interesting, important research here?
There's a lot to explore, but given our time, let me maybe highlight four. The first one is, I think we need to dig into why the internet seems to benefit some workers more than the others. What's really driving this skill gap? Another big question is how better connectivity changes the role of multinationals. For example, can multinationals help attract investment or create more local jobs? Another one is education. I'm an educator, so this is something that is very important to me. You know, we need to study the context where internet connectivity increases or sometimes hinder educational attainment. I've already mentioned that in some studies that shows that internet-based platforms boosted test scores or even longer-term earnings. Mm-hmm. What I didn't mention, but I want to mention now, is in others, access to online distractions like social media or gaming website has had the opposite effect. Understanding what works and why they work could make a big difference for policymakers. And then one last thing is there's a lot of potential. People have been talking about this, the service exports from low-income countries to richer countries. Can the internet really help this low-income country to tap into the global markets? And if so, is that growth here to stay, right? So how sustainable that is? To me, these are the four major areas to explore.
In high-income countries, obviously at the moment, we are obsessed, all of us, with the impact of artificial intelligence on our lives, on our jobs. Is it time to start looking at the impact of AI in development settings, or is it too early?
Absolutely. AI, of course, is still is early stages in low and middle income countries, but its potential impact on productivity, on education, even on healthcare outcomes is going to be enormous. So I think it's never too early. Starting now is the right time. It could really help the policymakers to plan for the future and to avoid any pitfalls.
Well, starting now is clearly the right time. We have so much we could talk about. We've only been able to skim the surface of what you've written about in this review. Lynn, thank you for talking to me about this today.
Thank you, Kim. It's a pleasure discussing this with you.
Now, the paper's called The Economic Impact of Internet Connectivity in Developing Countries. And two authors, Jonas Hjort and Lynn Tian. This has been a Vox Dev Talk. The best way to make sure you don't miss an episode, well, subscribe. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. Our past episodes are always at voxdev.org. If you like what you hear, please remember to leave us a review and tell someone else about us.